We're up to Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Zayin. Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Zayin. We started. Let's just review with the Rashi. Okay. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Perasot Zion biyodecha Zion extends her hand. We're going to translate for the moment the word perasot means extend. She spreads out her hand in frustration and tsar, as we'll see in Rashi. Ein menachem lo, there is no one to give her comfort. Notice that this is the same thing. It's this part. We'll just read the whole pasuk. Verse ein menachem lo tziv Hashem liyakov. Hashem has commanded liyakov concerning Yaakov sevivav tsarof, that he should be surrounded by his enemies. Chaysa Yerushalayim l'nida b'neihem. Yerushalayim was a nida, was a it simply, literally means an impure woman, b'neihem, amongst them, amongst the nations of the world, or amongst the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Okay, first thing first, before we see Rashi, I just want to take note of a few things. Number one, here it says, Ein menachem lo, there is no comfort to her. Take note that in the previous pasuk, in pasuk Tezayin, it says, Rochak mimeni menachem. The Menachem is distant. Now, that's a very big difference. Saying the Menachem is distant versus saying that she has no Menachem is a whole different meaning. One thing is you have a Menachem, it's just she's far away. And the Menachem will eventually come and return. Saying that Ein Menachem Lo, that's more direct and that's harsher. And how do we reconcile this contradiction? So the answer is obvious. It depends from whose perspective, who is speaking. In Pasuk Zayin al Eila Anivochia. So here it's first person. Tzion simply means that Yerushalayim is crying. Yerushalayim is crying. When Yerushalayim cries, then she says, it says, Rochak mimeni menachim. The menachim is distant. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, it's not third. It's third person. It's an observer. It's something very deep taking place here. The Pasuk Yud Zayin, it's not first person, third person. It is a description. The Umos Ha'olam are observing. United Nations, they're looking at Tzion, and they look at this pathetic state, the matzav they're in after the Churban. Peres Tzion biyodecha, ein menachem lo. There's no hope for her. It's just a matter of time until Klal Yisrael disintegrates, until they dissolve and they fall off the world scene. Ein menachem lo. And they go on, Tziva Shem Yaakov, it's as if the Ribbono Shel Olam has commanded concerning Yaakov, Tziva Sav Haisa Yusham Lida, she's a nida b'neihem. There's no hope. However, if you go and you ask Klal Yisrael, what do you have to say? Whoever told you, Ein menachem, there's no hope for us? Nonsense. Of course there's hope for us. It's a long shot. It's not going to be easy, but we ultimately will prevail. It's rochoik. It's at a distance, but it will come. Eventually it will come. I mean, this is really the story of Klal Yisrael and Golos. The Umos HaOlam are always writing us off. Talk about after the Holocaust, this is well known. Everyone, all the historians, they write about this. Is after the Holocaust, the articles in the New York Times and all the various publications, Orthodoxy is on the decline. Yeah. It's just a matter of time until they disintegrate. Even when the state was what?
The famous article in Life magazine in the mid 50s, about the
the steep decline, the end of Orthodoxy. It's just a matter of time until they completely disintegrate. You talk about even in the state of Israel, when the state was founded. It was not founded by people who...
Yeah. The reason Ben Gurion was asking for...
Because he thought it was just a matter of time.
He says, how long are we going to have Yeshiva? Yeah,
so gig, let him have some money, let him have a few...
I believe that, but that's what the...
Concessions. It was an attitude. It may not necessarily have been his personal attitude, but it was definitely an attitude that was very prevalent. Is that, listen, so, you know, you can give the religious people a few little things because anyway, how much longer are they going to be around? This was the perspective from an outsider. But if you ask the people on the inside, are you out of your mind? There's going to be a revolution. We're gonna grow. We're gonna mushroom. It's gonna happen. Klal Yisrael is vibrant, youthful. That is the difference. This is exactly the difference between Pasuk Tes Zayin and Pasuk Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin is the perspective of the outsider. There is no hope. Ein Menachem Lo. Finished. D-O-A. Dead on arrival. There's nothing more to discuss. Es Klal Yisrael. That's Pasuk Tes Zayin. Rochak Mimeni Menachem. We got problems. Granted. We got problems, but it's only rochak. Don't say the word ein. There's a world of a difference between the word ein and the word rochak. And this is the story of Klal Yisrael. Okay, now next point before we go to Rashi is Yerushalayim Hoysa Yerushalayim Lenida Beinehem. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Let's see the Rashi. We'll come. We'll discuss things as we see the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Zayin. It's a long Rashi. Rashi Kedarka is very cryptic, and it seems like a lot of things have been stitched together, and it does not. The words do not really flow very conveniently. Let's see. Perisa Tzion Biyodecha Kamo Uferas Yadov Bikirbo. A person that extends his hands Bikirbo. In his midst, he goes out to his people and he spreads out his hands to draw their attention. So, in other words, in this pasuk, perasa means to extend forward your hand. What is the meaning? So, Rashi explains why. What does it mean that Tzion is extending her hands? Ka'adam ha'moylich yadav, like a person who stretches his hands. Molichem umivim, he goes forward and brings them closer. Umitzta'er bohem. That's the key word. It is an expression of grief. Person in a state of grief, he moves his hands back and forth. Period. Moloch HaMevi. Back and forth. It is an expression of grief. By lulav, we don't associate shaking the lulav, Moloch HaMevi, with grief. Right. Going back and forth. Okay, in a chanami. Dover Acher. Perisa Tzion Loshon Shavir means to break. Now, what does it mean to break? It means she breaks her own bread. So here he's referring to Sudas Havra. Sudas Havra is when an Ovel is sitting Shiva, the first Suda, not supposed to eat his own bread. He's supposed to be given bread from others. Other people give him bread. And in ancient times, the way we describe providing a person with bread means to break bread. We still use it today. Yeah. You break bread. Yeah. Take a loaf of bread and you break it. So you don't break the bread. So an Ovel does not break her own bread. An Ovel is given bread by others, and someone else breaks the bread for the mourner. But what happens if there's no one here to be Menachem? There are no comforters. There are no Menachemim. Picture, some person sitting Shiva, and no one comes. No one's there. No one's coming. No one's coming to visit. It's very frustrating for a Shachar's minion. Right? It's always very hard to get together a minion. There are a million people that live in the community, and just to get a minion, stitch together a minion, is not. It's not so easy. So when no one's coming, okay, so you know what? I'll break my own bread. I'm not supposed to do this. Someone else is supposed to provide me with bread and break the bread for me, but if there's no one available, I'll have to break my own bread. That is Rashi's second. It's a pathetic...
An ovel doesn't make much. It does make a novel.
It's an express.
Somebody else has to prepare your meal.
The first meal. Only the first meal. Afterwards, he can make it himself. But it's the first meal. He's not supposed to eat food that he purchased or prepared. Someone is supposed to bring him his first meal. And I mean, people who have friends, they do this.
Yeah.
Do this.
Absolutely. They have it waiting when you come back from the cemetery.
I had a very unique experience. Now I was sitting Shiva, so the person who was the head of the Chevra Kadisha, he himself, I couldn't believe this, I was just in shock. He himself brought me bagels. What? And an egg also. He brought me bagels and eggs. Like he himself went to the store. Right, he himself went to the store. His wife made, like I was... So he's a very special person. That person who I dealings with. Okay, but over here it's from Paris at Tzion Biyodecha. Here it's a pathetic situation. The Ovel is sitting Shiva in a very desperate time. He needs company, and no one's there to give him company. and to the point where he has to prepare his own meal. That's how sad, a sorry state of affairs it is.
I thought my first reaction would have been maybe that when somebody died and he left behind nobody.
No relatives.
So Ein Menachem Lo, there's nobody to sit shiva for him.
There's no one to sit
shiva for that person who died.
Aha, it's like no one, the whole tzion was exiled. There was no
one. There's no one to mourn the loss.
When I was sitting shiva Lailenu, Rav Kalbach came, and he tells me he was with Rav Huttner years before, and Rav Freifeld, being Menachem Oval, and Rav Huttner tells Rav Freifeld, I am Makani. Kani, you're sitting shiva? He said, yes. My family was all killed. There was nobody to sit shiva for them.
Yeah. It's all relative. Okay, let's see. So second, Dover Acher, Perish Hatzin B'Yoloshon Shavira, Kimo, Poires, Ein, Lohem, there is no one to break bread for them. Pasuk later on, and another Pasuk in Yirmiyah, V'lo Yifrisu Lohem Al Evil, there is no one to break bread for the mourner to give him comfort for his dead. This is the interpretation of Menachem ben Saduk, one of Rashi's contemporaries, or maybe Rashi, maybe he was a little bit of a predecessor of Rashi. And what?
Him and Dunash are constantly fighting.
Who? Menachem and Dunash?
Menachem
and Dunash, they're contemporaries?
Yeah.
And Rashi came a generation later.
Close
more,
to 100 years.
100 years later. So wow, that means it had to be very, very early. Early Rishayit, early...
Dunash was in the 900s.
Rashi was 12... very late 10s, right? Rashi, 1096, Rashi was 56 years old. During the First Crusade, Rashi was 56 years old. Okay, so that's the very end of the 11th century. So it's 1096. Okay, so here we have over here. So alechem aleibel lachmal meis kachibu benachem loshim fine. That's kichem Menachem. That's Menachem. So we have two parishes so far. We have parish of Rashi and the parish of Menachem. Either means to spread forth your hand in tsar, or it means there's no one to give comfort. And the way we use the word peras as a code for being Menachem, giving comfort of loshim Mishnah. But they also is continuing now that we find the same word used in the Mishnayos. Perusa kayemis, the broken piece of bread is kayemis. The bread has not been broken. It's an expression, period. Now, you have to put a dot here. I know there's a comma here. I struggle with this. But I think over here, this is the end of Menachem's parish. Now, Rashi is going back to his parish. Rashi gets less licks. Okay, that's what it appears over here. Rashi is now going back to his parish, Mashmo. What is the meaning of the pasuk? I guess whether you want to learn like, maybe Rashi means whether you want to learn like me or like Menachem. The bottom line is, it's a state and expression of severe mourning. Mashmo ka'odom hamitzta'er. I don't know, I think there's a new parish. I don't know how this fits into the previous two perushim. Shechoyvek es yodov mishabram. He embraces his hands and he breaks them. Tosefes Motzas, I found this additional interpretation. So again, I think everything from Guru Mashmo is a new parish. It's something completely different. You put your hands together and you break it. I'm not exactly sure what it means.
I think it means you wring your hands.
Like this in frustration. Pores means you break your hands, then you go like this. I don't know, you do something with your hand. You hold your hands. You hold your hands. What does it mean, break it? How do you break it? I don't know what it means here.
To ring?
What do you mean you wring your hands? Demonstrate. Like this, and that's frustration and tsar?
Yeah.
That's like anger. Alright, whatever it is. So that means a total of three perushim. Either to extend their hands forward, back and forth, and wailing, or it means to break bread, not your hands. Paris means to break bread. And you take your hands, with your hands you break the bread. There's an object that's being broken. Or it means to do this, some type of expression of frustration, of tsar. That's the third interpretation. Okay, next was of Rashi. Tziva Hashem Yaakov, Sevivav Tzava. Hashem has commanded Yaakov. Sevivav Tzava. There are many interpretations of these words. Let's hear Rashi translates them. Tziva Al Yaakov. Hashem has commanded, the Lamed here serves as the word Al, concerning Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Klal Yisrael, Sheyihiyu Tzarav Sevivav, that his enemies should surround him. His enemies should surround him. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi elaborates, Afke shagol l'bavel u'la Ashur, when we were exiled, when Nebuchadnezzar exiled Klal Yisrael to Bavel and to Ashur by Higla, or Ashur was the Aseres HaShvatim, going back before, Higla Sancherev es oivem amonu moav. It wasn't bad enough that Sancherev, and it says here Bavel, so Bavel was the Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know, maybe, I don't think Sancherev took them to Bavel. Maybe, I think that's only Nebuchadnezzar. Sancherev, do you call that?
Took whom to Bavel?
The Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim.
Took him past Bavel.
Ashur. And he only took them to Ashur. The only one that took to Bavel was Nebuchadnezzar. Bavel didn't even really exist. It wasn't even a major player at that point in time.
Right.
So here he begins. Afke shagolu lebavel ule Ashur. Higle Sanchev. How come he doesn't make mention of... he mentions Bavel, but now we discuss something exclusive to Ashur. There's something missing in the Rashi. I don't know. Why is he mentioning here Bavel? He should only focus on Ashur, Sancherev, right, and the mice of Amon Umov. I do not know, but let's leave it with that. Higle Sancherev es oivein Amon Umov, in addition to exiling Klal Yisrael, the Aseres HaShvatim, he also took with the Aseres HaShvatim our neighbors, who are Amon Umayav. They also were exiled to Ashur for one reason only, to torture us. Just like they tormented us, harassed us when we were living in Eretz Yisrael. So Sancherev, I don't want you to have a good life in Ashur. I'll take you to Ashur, you'll settle, and you'll have no enemies. No one's going to bother you. I'll bring the Palestinians with you. Wherever you go, you go to America, so the Palestinians can sit right next to you, you can fight with you here as well. Yeah?
I thought Sancheirov did a population exchange.
Yeah, he did.
So, did it mean that Amon and Moav
Amon and Moav did not have to go with us. Amon and Moav could have gone to America. Amon and Moav could have gone to...
They occupied Eretz Israel.
No, Eretz Israel was up by the Kushim. The Kusim. They were the Kusim, an entirely different nation was brought into Eretz Yisrael. Amoin Umoyav, population exile, they could have taken them anywhere in the world. There was no need to take Amon Umoyav and put them together with the Jewish people. Sancheirev deliberately, in his wickedness, decided that would be the worst thing for Klal Yisrael. To take our enemies and have our enemies live among us. So it will be adding insult to injury. Bad enough that we have to go into exile, we'll also have to be tormented by our enemies in exile as well.
Even here in America, who lives on the outskirts of the Jewish neighborhoods here?
Don't say it. We know who you mean.
Okay, but you should know, more or less, they're very peaceful.
That's where you draw the line.
In America, listen, Bli Ayin Hara, they're not harmful. You know, in Tar V'Das years ago, there was a different element that surrounded the neighborhood.
Yes.
And it was horrible. Okay, let's not say any names, but it was really, really sakana. Now, they're all gone. And now, who's there? Pakistanians, Arabs. Bli Ayin Hara, it's relative.
You know why they
it's
live near the Jewish neighborhood?
Halal meat, the good meat, the what?
You know what?
Yeah.
Someone asked.
Yeah.
He said, you know what, we could get halal meat, but where are we going to get for our kids Pashkas?
Pashkas. Okay, Bli Ayin Hara. Very peaceful, very respectful.
I was 6 years old at Crown Heights.
Yeah.
Bubba first moved in.
Yeah.
And there was a back on the block, an African American. These girls taught me how to write bike at the age of 6. And a year later, he moved away.
Yeah.
He went to the nicer section, the predator.
There goes the neighborhood.
He said, when you guys are going to come in,
yeah,
my nechever are going to come in. And I can't tell my kids not to play with my nechever.
Uh-huh.
So when you guys are coming, it means that I have to start running because of your
I hear, I hear. Okay, all right. All right, okay. But here, this Amun Umoav, it didn't work out well. That is what Rashi over here says. Tziva Hashem liYaakov, concerning Yaakov, that they should be surrounded by their enemies, and that's what the Sancheirev did. Amun Umoav, Hashivam, Etzlem, Behem, Mekantadim, Oysan. they harassed them, tormented them. Homania. Homania is the name of a place, if I'm not mistaken. It's the name of a city. This Homania, this city in Bavel, is all full of the nation of Ammon, all of immigrants from Ammon. How did they get there? Sancheriv put them there on purpose to be together with Bavel.
What Yaakov's hate was?
Why they suffered this? No.
Because the Malbim says that this is in reaction to the hate of Yaakov.
Why are we focusing on Yaakov, the hate of Yaakov one year?
Because he didn't go back to Eretz Yisrael soon enough. That's the first thing I would think of.
Yaakov did not.
By loving too long.
Loving Harani. Aha. So you want to say Ma'is of a similar bonim, so it's coming to haunt you.
He doesn't say that, but what he says is that Tivah Hashem Yaakov and Shemachmas.
Okay, you're saying something very deep. You're saying something extremely deep. I saw this in a number of psalms. It's a very scary thing. If a person sins in this world, right, let's say a person he has a secret to lose a double life, and he has an ASIC with someone he should not be having. So you know what the Gehenna, know what the person's Gehenna is?
To be with him.
To be with that person in the next world. Oh, this is who you like?
You guys.
This is who you like in this world, so in the Olam HaEmes, so you can be with them. I'm not going to punish you. There, it's torture. I have to be your neighbor with this person. Well, if you like them enough to be with them, to choose your friends in this world to be with them, that's where you're going to have to be with in the next world. It's very frightening. And that's exactly what you say. Yaakov, in my service, you chose to remain with Lavan Harani. You chose to be in a Seviva that's the antithesis of everything that you stand for. That's what's gonna. You want to be so, but derech she'adam roitzel leilech shama lichinoy. So when you will go to Galus, so that will be part of the Galus. You'll be with them. It's not just relatives. No. They're not relatives. We broke away from them.
He's doing kibbutz ein.
What?
Rivka told him until
half for how long?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a topic of discussion. For how long? That is a topic of discussion. He had to definitely go to get married. The only question was, how long did you have to stay? Okay, so that is a discussion. Maybe that time already expired before. Okay, that's all part of the discussion. But he's saying something, a very deep idea, which definitely has a parallel in this machshava.
That's what he means.
Yaakov. Okay, now also by the okay, Lenida. What's Lenida? That's first for another Rosh. Lenida, L'richuk, distance, L'vuz, for disgrace. There here is the Sifsei Chacham. Unfortunately, I didn't realize they have such gewalt, the Sifsei Chacham in this edition that we have over here. So finally starting to play around with it. And the Sifsei Chacham takes note that in the previous back in Pasuk, was in Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Ches, it says also the word Nida. Right? Pasuk Ches, Chet Chata Yerushalayim, Al Kain Lenida Hoyasa. And there, Rashi translates the same word, Lenida, Legoyle, Lashain No Venod, a wanderer. A wanderer. Here, Rashi, for some reason, he already translated it once. Why do you have to translate the word Lenida again? He translates it with a different translation. Not a wanderer, a person who is actively wandering, but instead l'richok, distance, and as an object of distance, an object of vuz, of disgrace. So Rashi, the question is why the change? So Rashi says, well, it's a grammatical difference. Because there's a yud, and here there is no yud. But not only is it the yud, it's also the dogesh. The dogesh also may change when there is a yud. So then it becomes like the dal becomes a shva, it becomes. Well, really, it's both. It becomes a shva na. Both ways, it becomes a shva na. If there would be a shva, there's anyway comments. But there's a dot in the dalet. Here, there is a dot in the dalet which adds more emphasis on the dalet. And in the previous pasuk, there is no dot in dalet which adds less. Therefore, I'm not familiar with the connotation, but it's a different word. It's a nida. I mean, the big picture of things is
the reason for the dogish and the dalit is because there is
no yud. But enoch and ami. But it also has an afmin. There is no yud. But the fact is, now that there is a dogish, it also changes the meaning. It changes the whole flavor. Okay, the word is obviously the same word. Whether you have yud or have yud, not yud, it's the same exact letters. But it changes the flavor of the word. And the emphasis in the previous passing back is being active. Novenod means to wander, a creature who wanders from place to place. Here, we're viewing it also from third person. It's a discrim. description. Klal Yisrael is viewed as a nation that's third world nation, or even worse, not a fourth world nation. They don't exist. They're just a richok lovuz. They're not considered to be anything of any significance. That's okay. I'm not familiar with the grammatical nuances, but that's something to take note of. The two different changes of word. Okay, another just quick idea before we go to the Targum is over here we focus on the Yaakov. Many times in this sefer we focus on Yisrael, and here we're focusing on Yaakov. We know that Yaakov represents the name of Klal Yisrael in a state of golos. Yisrael represents a princely tsar, is when Klal Yisrael prevails, or at least when we're yearning for a gula. Here we're describing our pathetic state in Golis, when the nation, when we describe Klal Yisrael in third person, when the nations of the world look at us, they always are looking down. And the way we have this flavor, this expression of looking down, Yaakov, the nations of the world never want to look at us as a Yisrael. They don't. As Yaakov, or the nations of the world, when they look at us from their perspective, they're always looking down. They're calling us Yaakov, because this pasuk is important, because we're shifting here to third person. Okay, before you see the Targum, there's a very, very, very simple idea. It's Tziva. Tziva Hashem Yaakov Tziva Tzarov. We learned Rashi. Hashem has commanded concerning Klal Yisrael that they should suffer the punishment of being surrounded by their enemies wherever they live. When they go into Golis, they shouldn't think, oh, alright, so we suffered enough. We're not no longer living on our land. It's bad enough. No. Even in Golis, it's a double punishment. In Golis, you'll also be surrounded. You think you can escape. You can run, it's but you can't hide. Yeah.
We see it. We settled down in Golis, and we think we got it fine. But suddenly you got neighbors.
Our neighbors, they'll never let us live it out. Wherever we are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause our enemies to gravitate towards us, to surround us, to always remind us that we don't belong in Golis. We don't belong in Golis, we belong in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that is the parish of Rashi. But there's another parish, I saw this in the Sefer Kol Yaakov, by Spiegel. I don't remember where he brings this from. Most of the things there are liquid, but he has some of his own original ideas as well. And he says, don't translate Li Yaakov as concerning Yaakov, but rather to Yaakov. Hashem has told Yaakov, Yaakov, if there's one thing I want you to remember in Golis is, remember, Sevivav Tsarov. You're surrounded by enemies. No matter how much you think they're your friends, no matter how good they are to you, how kind they are, and how much they help you, they're not your friends. Halacha biyadeinu Esav sone liyakov. Parshas vayishlach, one of the most important Rashi's in the entire Tanakh for Golis. Halacha biyadeinu, no matter how good you think it is, biyadua. Biyadua, don't make that mistake. And this idea is really, that idea of Rashi, it really, according to Rabbi Spiegel, who he's quoting from, is really taken right out of this pasuk. Tziva Hashem liYaakov. Hashem told Yaakov, I'm putting you in Golis, I'm giving you a command, I'm giving you a message. Don't forget, one thing I want you to remember, Tzivivav Tsarov, your enemies are always surrounding you. Don't let your guard down. No matter how nice they are, they're always looking to do you in. Biyadua halacha b'dinu Esav sone liyakov. Vayishak Yaakov or Mochava. Yishak Esav, whatever it is, it's always going to be. It's always going to be. That's a very important lesson.
The Lamudei Nisan talks about Vayishlach, the Revach Tosimu Ben Eder Ben Eder. That we have this thing that we don't suffer constantly. It's not a continuous suffering. There are
breaks in
the middle, and it lets up, and we think, okay, things we're here in the United States, and we're enjoying life a little bit.
We're not as
persecuted as we've been in the past, and we let our guard down.
Yeah, but it could be somewhere else.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, but the point is, we relax, and we think things are good, and maybe we think, God... Whatever it is, that God is happy with us, or whatever it is, it's just He knows we can't continue to suffer constantly, so He gives us little breaks. But we mistake the break for better times.
Permanent.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the Targum now. Targum Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pirsas Tzion Yudah. Pirsas Tzion Yudah. Tzion spreads out. And so it's very clear that according to Targum, he's learning like the first parish of Rashi means, well, it seems like it means to spread. It doesn't say to shavar. Targum seems to say the word it means to spread, to extend. Tzion, her hands. Min. Aksa. Like now, min aksa. From min aksa means from tsar. Min aksa. She spreads out her hands in from tsar. From extreme pain. The pain is what causes her to extend her hands. Okay? Hechma. Now, like, similar. Dim farso. It is so like a woman who elite sioin viareha. Kmo isha vitsireha. Vitsireha. Like a woman who, the last of the kinois on Tisha, like a woman her birth pangs. Just like hechma, like dim farso. It is so al maspera, like a woman on a birth stool screams out in pain. They say there's no pain like labor, right? Except for kidney stones. You told me that. That's kidney stones. Kidney stones is the equivalent. No joke. Okay, it's no joke. Birth pangs. Kimo, like a woman, the mafarsa itasal mispira, like a woman who is on in agony in or giving birth. Next, kiginas.
Piggy.
They have a base. I have a pay. Okay, I have a mistake in mind then. Piggy nas, the less the malel tanchumin aliba, and there is no one. She cries. Piggy mas means she mourns. She mourns. The less the malel tanchumin aliba, and there is no one that goes and provides her with comfort to her heart. Period. Okay, so that ends the first part of the pasuk, and the addition is like the kinois. It's a fasting. Now you know you learn the Targumim. You get some insight into a lot of the kinois. Kama isha vitzireha. It's mamish taking this right out of the Targum to some. It's probably a pasuk also, but it's also from this Targum here. Next, now we go to part two of the pasuk. The part two of the pasuk is Paked Hashem. Hashem has commanded Livetz Yaakov pikudayov v'oraisa lemintar. Hashem, now a whole new translation, has told us to guard and observe the Torah. Tziva Hashem liyakov. Vihinun, and they, instead of guarding the Torah, ovru al gezeras memra, they have violated Hashem's command, begin so that, begin because of that, begin Cain, istaharu chazar chazar, they have, Hashem has caused their enemies to surround them. Istach means to surround, chazar chazar, all sides. Sivu saviv saviv, liyakov mi ikohi, by his enemies. Ikohi, that word always means enemies, period. And then the last part of the pasuk is, havas Yerushalayim, damyol itisa, has become like a woman that's merachako beinohin. Over here he says lenida, he focuses specifically on a woman. We are like a nida who has been distanced, who has been put away. And we discussed this last time, we learned Pasuk Ches, a nida, there are two milas to repeat. Chazara, what are the two milas of a nida? There's a silver lining over here in the word nida. Number one, a nida is mutar liachazman. Unlike the other arayos, they are forbidden forever. A nida, after she goes through the zayin nikiyim, is muteris labala. And number two, the next smila is you're allowed to have yichud with a nida. An erva, you're not allowed to be isolated, but you are allowed to be isolated with a nida, which means that even in golos, when we are in the category of a nida, Hashem still is miyached with. Hashem may not be intimate with Klal Yisrael, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still is miyached, still is together with Klal Yisrael. Okay, now there's another important point. Here is the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim. I think this is one of the first times over here where we have in one pasuk, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time where we contrast Tzion and Yerushalayim. We had Tzion back in pasuk Vavayisim, about Tzion kol hadara. We had Tzion a few times, but I don't think we had in the same pasuk the two coming together. This is a topic of discussion. What is the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim? So, okay, just right now, one pair is Tzion represents a derech pshat. Tzion is the inner city. Yerushalayim had like the outer city. Let's say today you would say the old city and the new city. Right? The old city is, you make believe in the ancient times, that would be called Tzion. And the larger, expanded, new, new 21st century city of Yerushalayim was what you would call Yerushalayim. So in ancient times as well, the Har HaBayis, the part of Yerushalayim that was the holy section, that was miyuchet for the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim, right near the Beis HaMikdash, was called the section of Tzion. The larger area, the expanded area, was called Yerushalayim. That's a very popular approach to explain Tzion and Yerushalayim. Another interpretation is when you look at Yerushalayim, you look at the spiritual element, and you look at the Gashmias. The spiritual element is Tzion, and the more mundane, the more Gashmias element of the city is called Yerushalayim. Another interpretation, Tzion represents, we know that sometimes we refer to Kodesh Baruch Hu as Rom, and sometimes we refer to Kodesh Baruch Hu as Godol. Hakel HaGodol. What's the difference between Rom? Godol Hashem Al Ho'anim. The pasuk which can contrast it to Mechula, Garam, and Garam means exalted. He's beyond our understanding. Godol means Godol. So now you have two things. So what is the difference? So Godol means our limited understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like there's a ladder. And we can climb up the ladder, we can get a little bit of an appreciation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzem, his greatness, so that we human beings can have a small degree of appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. But then, of course, we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is way beyond our understanding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ram, is exalted way beyond us. I believe there's a passage that actually puts these two together. Tzion represents man's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we want to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzem. He confines his greatness so we can connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is the word tzion. It concludes man's quest to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yerushalayim is just, it's the city of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem's city. It's something which we have to stand back and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great, is exalted, and it's beyond us to fully comprehend. Now, when you look at this, okay, that's how does that fit into this pasuk? Well, I didn't prepare that, so we'll leave that for another time. We'll maybe have other examples of trying to see how these ideas in various certain they come back together. There's something I wanted to say here. Okay, just going back to the Targum before we go to the next pasuk. Tziva Hashem liYaakov. Targum is giving us a whole new interpretation that Hashem has commanded Yaakov to do what? To observe the Torah mitzvos, and you have to put there a hard break. Hashem commanded us to observe the mitzvos. We did not listen, and as a punishment of not listening, Siviva v'tzarav. Our enemies have surrounded us, which tells us that if we will only listen to Hashem's mitzvos, that will be the antidote to our enemies. Our enemies surrounding us. So let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Ches is Ois Tzadik.
Did you tell us why there's a samach on every pasuk?
I never told you. I do not know. I do not know why. Every parsha is a parsha stuma. It's a parsha b'fnei atzma. There's no narrative here. It's a collection of ideas. Each pasuk represents a complete idea. Parsha stuma. Stuma also means hidden. There's a hidden meaning in between. Every pasuk can be interpreted multiple ways, but there's always a silver lining. There's a hidden bracha in each parsha. Pasuk Yud Ches. Tzadiku Hashem. The pasuk of Tzidduk Hadin. Okay, Tzidduk Hadin is a very powerful concept. Tzidduk Hadin is said at a funeral. At a funeral, the relative has to be matzik lover sadin tzadik, and this is one of the main psukim which we use for Tzidduk Hadin. And indeed, this pasuk, the whole kina is devoted to this pasuk, and the Targum elaborates upon this, the story, the kina, in a moment of Yoshiyahu. And Yoshiyahu's dying words were tzadik hu Hashem kifihu marisi. In fact, Chazal tells that Yirmiyah actually heard these words come out of his mouth. Now, if we learned that in Yirmiyah, we had this discussion, we started Sefer Eicha, Megillas Eicha. If Yirmiyah wrote Eicha before the Golos, way before the Golos, and it's the pasuk recording Yirmiyah the Megillah that he presented to Yehoyada HaKoyein, so then obviously this pasuk was said in advance. It was self in Ruach HaKodesh, and it just so happened to be that Yoshiyahu would say this pasuk. Yoshiyahu would say, wait, maybe did it happen already? Would say this pasuk. But if you learn that this was written at a later point in time, it was written much later, then it could very well be that Yirmiyahu was recording here things that he actually heard from others, including what he heard from Yoshiyahu. So it could be either the pasuk was said Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, and it just so happened to be the exact same words were said coincidentally. Nothing's a coincidence, but it was also said by Yoshiyahu, or it was actually a record of what was. We know that Tehillim, David, a lot of the things that David wrote, Chazal tell us, were taken from other individuals, and it was just compiled here as well. Each parish, the parish Stuma, who was compiled from other things that were simply other people. So, Hashem is righteous. I acknowledge now that I have rebelled against His peh. Shimu no chol ha'amim. Listen, all nations. Uru and see. Machoivi, my suffering. Bisulosai uvachurai holchu vashevi. My young men and my young girls have gone into captivity. Okay, let's first see Rashi. Pasuk Yud Ches. There is no Rashi. So let's jump right away to the Targum. Targum Pasuk Yud Ches. Amar, so long Targum, describing exactly the mice of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu took over after his father Ochaz. Ochaz was a very, very wicked king. And Yoshiyahu, he went and he cleaned up all of the Avodah Zarah. And he thrust a sword into the walls of the Beis Medrash, and he said, "Call me Shelo Yasek b'Torah. Anyone that does not study Torah, Yidok Erev Acheref, shall be pierced by the sword." And the Chazal said that in his day, Batku Midon Gal Be'er Sheva V'Leimatzu Tinek V'Tinoke Shloho Yubikim in Tumah V'Tara. They were experts. They were tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. However, people were still, even with all the great Torah, was still doing averos secretly behind closed doors, and he was not aware of this. And the secrets was misled him to think that he was living in the times of Ikvus of the Mashiach. Amar Hashem, b'memro liyama beis Yisrael. Hashem has said to his nation, to Klal Yisrael, lama dolo yavar kotlin b'charba, that. A sword, the lo yavor kotlin b'charba be'ar ahoin, that l'savor cherev b'artzchem, cherev l'sav b'artzchem, during the times in b'chukos ha'teleichu, if you fulfill the words of the Torah, I guarantee that a sword will not pass through your land, which means not only a sword of milchama, even a cherev shel rishus, that even if one nation, a no-fly zone, we're not going to let other nations fly over our airspace in order to attack another nation. We don't want to get involved in these inyanim. This was the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael im b'chukosai teilechu im yihyu amelim b'torah. So who read this pasuk? Ozal Yoshiyahu Malka. Yoshiyahu Malka. He went. And what did he do? Sholaf Saifa al Paro. He extended his sword al Paro, Paro Chagira. He was lame. Chagira means that he was lame, he was a cripple. Paro Necho was the king of Egypt. At this time he was called Paro Necho, because Necho means Chagira, lame. Bevikas Megiddo. And he told him, I don't want you to pass. He wanted to go to war against Melech Ashur. He wanted to go to Carchemish. Carchemish is up in the north. Egypt is down in the south. He wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael, through Eretz Yisrael. And Melech and Yoshio said, no, you're not allowed to pass through my land to go to battle against your enemy Melech Ashur. And if you do so, I'm going to prevent you. And he didn't listen. So he tried to go pass through the land. So Yoshio went out to greet him with his army. And they met in the valley called Bebikas Megidoi. And in this valley, Yoshiyahu was killed. He was perforated by 300 arrows. Ma Chagira Bebikas Megidoi, Ma Deloi Ispakeid. He was not commanded to do this. Hashem never Tuvloi Tova Ulfon Min Kodom. And he never asked. That's very important, Rashi. He was not commanded. He was not commanded Mashal Mitzvah. And V'loi Bikish, that's the very big dilemma. The conflicting Mamari Chazal. Here the Targum says he was not commanded to go to war against Melech Mitzrayim. V'loi, and furthermore, the Targum says V'loi Tova Ulfan Min Kodom Hashem. He did not even ask. Ulfan means a teaching. He should have consulted with the Navi. He should have consulted with the Navi at the time of Yirmiyahu if Hashem wants him to go to battle against Melech Paro. And what happened? Min kodam voltova, he did not tovea ulfan, a teaching min kodam Hashem. Begin came because of this double sin, the double sin of not being commanded, and number two, not even asking what to do. Rogmu rogomaya, the archer shot, girin arrows, lemalko Yoshiyahu, into the body of Yoshiyahu, 300 arrows, doesn't say, it says in the Medrash, umis talmon, and he died there, ad, period. And ad loy nafkas, all of, right before his neshama departed, nishma say, haverochish besif vosei, his lips were murmuring. V'chein amar, and this is what he said. So everything that we have read now in the Targum is a hakdama to the beginning of the pasuk. Tzadik hu Hashem. That's the hakdama. That is the entire kina. That entire thing over there we just showed you is one of the kinos on Yoshua, is one of the kinos. V'chein amar. And so he said, Zakai hu Hashem. Hashem is Zakai. Arum ikus. Zakai hu Hashem. Arum al memro of Risa. I have transgressed his command. Period. Period. That ends that section. Then comes the next part of the pasuk. Shamu, listen. Ka'an, listen here. Ka'an means now. Ka'an means like no. Shimu no. Like as if the pasuk would say no means ka'an. Kol amaya, all of the nations. Hefseida de'afseida Yirmiyahu. Listen to the eulogy. Fascinating translation of the Targum is telling us what it means, Shimna Kolamim. What should they listen to? What should the nations listen to? Listen to the eulogy of Yirmiyahu. Shimna the Afsed Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu, the Chazo, and see Kevedi ar Anibos, and see the pain. And see the pain, the Machoivi, the pain. Asher, I'm sorry, Ke'eve, the pain, di arani, the pain, Bosar Mosei, after the death of Besulosai, the death that has occurred to me, after Bosar Mosei, after his death. I'm sorry, Bosar Mosei, look at the sorrow that has occurred to Klal Yisrael in the wake of his death. And what is the tzara? Bisulosai, v'raviyai, azalu, b'shiv yosa. My young men and my young boys have gone into captivity. That is the tzar that has resulted from the death of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu's death is in the tzar. So therefore, it's fascinating. It's telling the Shimna Kolamim, the ones that are supposed to listen over here, they listen to the hesped that Yirmiyahu gave for
Yoshiyahu.
Yoshi, so we have to really go to the Pesukim. Actually, they mention the Pesukim. We have to do that and prepare that. Blina, Blina, we have to come back to go to the Pesukim. What exactly is the Hespit? In the Pesukim, there are a few things that are said in the Kim. There are also descriptions of exactly what Yirmiyahu said about Yoshiyahu. Now, by the way, was he buried? It's a very interesting. Was he buried? So the pasuk says, the pasuk is a contradiction. If he was actually buried, Yoshiyahu. One pasuk says they did bring back his body, and they buried it in. I forgot where they buried it in Kibri Avos. Another pasuk says that indicates that he was not buried. The Medrash asked this kasha. The Medrash says that Yirmiyahu, at least at that point in time, he buried 2 drops of blood. He took with him 2 drops of blood to bury. So it's an interesting idea. Okay, well,
how could
Yirmiyahu Kohen to the Mace Mitzvah? It was a Mace Mitzvah, obviously.
But a Kohen Gadol?
Oh, yeah. No one is exempt from Mace Mitzvah, not even a Kohen Gadol. Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's just see some ideas. Now, it says here, Tzadik Hashem ki fihu marisi. What is with that? I feel Marisa rebelled his past. So someone says there are only 2 things that came from the mouth of Hashem that we directly heard. And that is Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yeh Elokecha Elokim Acherim. So the rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not refer to Agili Arayos and Shlich HaStamim and all of the other Seres HaDibros and Tayag Mitzvos. We're referring here specifically of our denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our rebellion of worship of Kifiyu means Anochi and Lo Yelecha, because we know that those are the only two which came directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, another Medrash says on this Pasuk, Tzadik Hu Hashem Tzidik HaDin. The Medrash Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. It's a Medrash Ilu Zichisen. If you, Klal Yisrael, would have married, you would have been saying instead Tzedek Tzedek Tirdeif. But now that you did not merit, now it's going to be said about you, you're going to have to say Tzadik Hu Hashem. So this Medrash says something very, very profound. The word Tzedek Tzedek and the word Tzadik Tzedek and the word Tzadik obviously have the same Shoresh, have the same. A Tzadik is a person who is just, who does everything in Mishpat. The reason why we have to suffer loss and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzadik Hu Hashem Ki Yifiyu Merisi, is directly correlated to the fact that we're not ethical, that we're not honest people, that we're always looking to beat the system, we're looking for a shortcut, we're looking to get away with Dinei Mimonos. It talks about tzedek. Tzedek is a pasuk that is that al derech pshat is focused on dinei memoinos, choshen mishpat, momain gezel, and tzedek hu Hashem ki yifiyu merisi is a very frightening pasuk. It refers to death. This is the pasuk that we say by tzedek hadin. And the Medrash says the two of them are related. The Chil Hashem and the whole way of life of not following a life of tzedek, tzedek, tirdeif, pursuing a life of honesty, Rachmana Litzlan, is related that you don't want to be you don't want it to be said about you. The nations of the world should write articles and say these people, these Orthodox Jews, they're incredible. Look at them. They're a nation upon whom we can say tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. So you know what? You don't want it to be said about you. You will be the one that will have to say the tzaddik, but you'll say it in a way which will be an expression of grief. Tzaddik hu Hashem ki fihu marisi. That's what it says. It's just a medrash. The medrash plain.
By Yogo Amalek is followed.
Very good. Hint said David Tzedek, you don't want to be honest. Vayava Amalek. Amalek is going to come. And then what do we have to say when Amalek strikes us? Tzadik Hashem ki yifiyu merisi. So these two are directly a direct correlation, and it's very true for our times. Unfortunately, every day in the news we hear about another scandal, chaval. It's a chaval that it was not, instead of that scandal being written, another article should have been written of a Kiddush Hashem where it will be said about a Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdeif. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, there are other ideas. I don't remember. Okay, just to touch upon this question, this is a very big debate. Did Yirmiyah, who is supposed to go to who? Is the Melech supposed to go to Yirmiyah, or is Yirmiyah supposed to go to the Melech? This was a discussion we had with Yeshaya. Yeshaya and Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah was very sick. He was about to die. So Hashem told Yeshaya to go tell. The question was, who should go to who for a solution? Should the Melech go to Yeshaya to tell, ask for a solution for his health problems, and it's the situation that Klal Yisrael was in, Sancheir was about to come upon Klal Yisrael, or should Yeshaya go to the Melech? Who is Mechuyev to give cover to who? So there was a standoff. No one wanted to go and give cover to the other. So Hashem says, so I'll make happen to work out that Chizkiyah got sick. Oh, Chizkiyahu is sick. So now Yeshaya will go be mevaker chole. I'll come to pay that. I'm choyev to do that. That's halach and shulchan aruch. So once I'm ready to be back at Chayla, so they struck up a conversation, what exactly is the root of my problems? And he said, oh, you're not married. The Malchus of David is in jeopardy. If you don't get married, you're the last survivor of the Malchus of David. You have to go and continue the legacy. Okay, so one thing led to another, and that brought about the salvation. But here, that is another part chapter in this discussion. Another chapter in this discussion, like you said, Yiftach and Pinchas, and you talk about over here of Yeshaya and Chizkiyahu. Here is another chapter of Yirmiyah and Yoshiyahu. Who was supposed to go to who? Maybe Yirmiyah should have come to Yeshaya and told him, Klal Yisrael is not holding on the Madrega where you can say, V'cherev le'savar bi'artzechem. Let it go. Let Yoshiyahu, let Paro Nechob travel through the land, just let it go. But he did not. Was that a taina on, was that a complaint against Yirmiyahu? Okay, that's a discussion. What about, why didn't he ask? Maybe before you go out into war, before you do something very, very significant in your foreign policy,
doesn't he have to ask
the Urim HaTumim? He is the Urim HaTumim. So L'chora, Yirmiyahu is all part of the Urim HaTumim. He was the Kohen Gadol. So he has access to Urim HaTumim. So L'chora, he should, and even if the Urim HaTumim was not functional at that point in time, but still he was a Navi, and he was the one that could provide the proper answer. So this is something which is a interesting idea, And the Targum here very bluntly says he was guilty of two sins. Number one, he did not ask, so he is blamed according to Targum. Number two, he was not told, so he was not okay. So it goes both ways. All right, so that we'll leave that. Let's go to Pasuk Tel Yutes. Karasi leMahavai. Okay, to do whichever we want. Pasuk. I called my lovers, the people who, or at least the Rashi says, people who made believe they are my lovers. They have deceived me. My priests and my elders in the city, they have perished. They have withered away. They have sought bread for themselves. The yeshiva to restore es nafsham. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk Yutes. Karasi lim ahavai. I call to my lovers. What does that mean? Lo'isam shemarim atzmam ki oyhavim. None of our the nations are really our lovers. They don't really. At least that's also something. They make believe. The people who made believe that they love us. That's also a very big madrig. I once heard what
said ohavai.
The fact that it's Ma'avai. Le'Ma'avai. Shemarim. The people who at least on the surface...
Supposedly.
They vote for us in the UN. They diplomatic. So they should have at least to save face, they should have come to our aid. It's also a madrig if you can pretend. There are people you know who are... a doctor once told this to me. There are people who are not well. They're not, they have all these talking spills about people with mental health issues. And he says, oh, we have medicine, we can do all these things. And if you only knew, you see this guy in the street, you see this guy in yeshiva, if you only knew that he has in his home a pharmacy, the pills that he's taking to keep him stable, you wouldn't believe it. But you don't know. And he takes all his medicines and he's 100% functional. He pretends. That's wonderful. What more do you want? So he's not 100%. Under the hood, he has issues. But as long as he's on his meds, he is functional. So he's pretending. What more do you want in this world? Everyone is a pretender to some degree. If you can pretend, that's already 99.9 of what is expected from you in this world. So here it says, you read this passage, I call to Limahava, the people that may believe they love me. Good, we know they don't love. We know they don't love us. We know that behind our backs they're stabbing us. But if at least they pretend that they love us, that's also a madrega. That's also a very significant madrega that they should at least make believe. They should be diplomatic. And they should behave in a dignified way. So here, when we were desperate, we called to the UN, come and save us. No, here they have actually deceived us. They deceived us. So here Rashi brings down a famous story, and this also is mentioned in one of the kinois. What did they do? When we were in exile, the Bnei Yishmael came out to greet us. When our captors were transferring us to Bavel, and we passed through the Arab lands, they says, "Oi, Nebuch, our cousins, the Jews, the cousins, let us give you a list on your trip. Let us give you some delicious food. Let's give you something to eat." They brought out different types of salted food, salted meat, salted fish. And then we got very ate and it was delicious, but then we were extremely thirsty. And we asked, can we have some water to quench our thirst? I don't really know what this means, but they gave us these empty canteens, these leather canteens that appeared to be filled with water. They were really racks inside to weigh them down, but it's really full of hot air. And we opened it up and we expected water to come in down our throats. Instead, this hot, stale air went down our lungs and killed us. We thought it was wine. For Eichlam, they ate with smam, they were thirsty after eating the salty foods. When they broke open the tip of the container with their teeth, the ear, hot ear, entered into their body. The Knesset b'meya v'hu meis, and these people died. V'hu sh'ama akosta. This one says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, bayar in the desert, in the forest, barav in the region of Arabia, talinu we lodged. Then the pasuk goes on to say, likras samei, towards the thirsty. The Arabs, they came to us. We were thirsty. Hey soyu moyim, they brought forth what looked like water. It was all in the skies. Yoshrei Eretz Taman, the people who lived in the land of Taman, Balachmai Kidmu Noideh, they came forward to us with bread. The Noideh means the wanderers. We were the wanderers. We're greeted with bread, and that means salty food. And they made believe they're going to give us water, but it wasn't really water, it was empty air, and we died when we inhaled these things. Okay, Vayeshivu Es Nafsham, Kadesh Yeshivu Es Nafsham, and we called out to our enemies, they sought bread for themselves, and our prophets, our kohanim and our zekinah, they sought gavahu. They sought bread for themselves to restore their neshamas. Kedei sheyashivu es nafsham, so that they should restore their neshama. Okay, before we conclude, I want to mention two few things. First of all, who are the kohanai and the zekinai? We'll do the talking tomorrow. But who are the kohanai and the zekinai? So it's machlekes in the midrashim. According to the first version of the Medrash, the Kohanim and the Zakenim refers to the Kohane Sheker. We know that Kalashim, before the going up to the Golas, there was a plague of false prophets giving us false hope. Don't worry, the Korban will never happen. Everything is fine. Iran, they're not going to build the bomb. You have nothing to worry about.
We've got your back.
We got your back. We're going to protect you. We love you. Kohane Sheker. That's who the prophets, the priests, the Kohane Sheker, and the Zekenai. Zekenai, the elder statesman of the nation. The elder statesman. Don't worry, of diplomacy. I'm in the business. It says Kohanai. Kohanai means priest. Priests are also the Medrash. The Medrash says the who are the Kohanai referring to the Nevi'ei Sheker. It refers to the elders, the Zekanim, and the priests. They were Sheker. They deceived me. They told us just business as usual. Everything is fine, merry. You're not doing, there's nothing. Don't do tshuva. Keep it up. That's one. The second shot is this refers to the Kohanai and the Zekanim Enes. And what does it mean they deceived me? There's a silver lining here. When we came into Bavel, they told us, oh, you're in Bavel. You have to give in Bavel Truma and Meiser. And that's Takad Halach and Shulchan Aruch. So you don't give Truma Meiser in Chutz Liaretz, but in Bavel you do. It's a Gzeira, and then in Bavel you do. So if we know there's no such thing. You don't give Truma and Meiser in Bavel. But the Talmidei Chachamim, they tricked us. Because we were ignorant, we were in Golos, we were confused to really check it up and to go online to see what it really says. They deceived us. And that was to our, they deceived us in a good way. Because they knew that if we would not be observant of the mitzvahs in Golos, there's no hope we would ever observe the mitzvahs, we would ever come back and do the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. So they deceived us in a good way to enacting mitzvahs in Bavel to prepare us to return to Eretz Yisrael. So the silver lining here in this pasuk. It's not a very lishma. This is a true takana. This is a chiv true meisen in the chiv true meisen Bavel. Not in other lands. Only in Bavel. Why? This pasuk to prepare us to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. One last idea.
So how do you read the pasuk? Then?
You have to read Karasa Lema Havai.
Because we're saying the Kohane is a Kene. What were the ones who were around?
Him, you have to read the Koran Targum, you have to read the words together, you have to put a break. It's not ready to read it. Hema rimuni hu, kohanai uzekenai. The kohanai and the zekenai, they're the ones who deceive me. Let me actually, if I have a few more, let me see, go look at the pasuk here in the Medrash. I have it over here. Pasuk.
Must be a gavol.
Karasi lim ahavai hema rimuni mi hema. So I made a mistake. It's not the kohanim. It's the ahavai. I made a mistake. The rimuni goes back on the ahavai, right. My lovers, not on the kohanai. Who are the lovers? Rabbanon posrin. This is an eichor abba. The rabbanon explain b'neviye hasheker shoyumavin oisi lavodazor shalohen. Okay, then it goes on further to say Rashbi posar karya. So it's not going back on the Kohanim and the Zekenai, it's going back on the Ahavai, on my lovers. The people either who loved Avodah Zarah, or the people who loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They deceived me either into worshipping idols, or to not doing tshuva, or they deceived me into being the kind of Mrs. Bavel, not appears to come to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, one last vart. This is a very shocking and very frightening vart. Why did the Kohanai Uzekenai, it says here that the Kohanai Uzekenai Be'ir Gavol, they perished. Why did they perish? Why did the, they're talking about the good people, the good Kohanim, the good Zekenim, why did they perish? You know why? Because they weren't in the business l'shem shemayim. They were in the business of rabbanus and in the business of askanus, all to get into the FJJ.
Right.
Photo ops. It's just photo ops. Why are you just to make a name for yourself? Ki vikshu oichel lomo. The key word is lomo. They were in the business of being kohanim and zakenim so they can make a parnasa lomo for themselves. They were not in it for the clout. When you go for an interview, why do you want the job? I want to make a name for myself. You have to do it. I'm here because I want to give to you. I'm a giver. It's nothing to do with me. I'll work for free. I'm not here to take from my children and to take large salaries. I'm here to give you. It's not lomo. If it's not going to be for them, it's going to be for you, then the pasuk concludes, you know why? You know why they failed in their job? They were DOA, dead on arrival, first day on the job. It was a failure to start. Because the only reason why they took the job was kivikshu oichel lomo for themselves. The yeshivu es nafshan, to satisfy their neshama, their quest for kavod, for that's the churban. It has to be for other people. All right, stop here.